Our scripture reading this morning is Hebrews chapter 2, verses 10 through 18. If you're using the Pew Bible, that's found on page 1276. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 10 through 18. The author of Hebrews, of course, is specifically dealing with a people who are being tempted to turn back to types and shadows. The types and shadows of the old covenant, and urging them to consider the glories of Christ, that Christ is the sum and the substance. He is the substance of those shadows. And they're not turned back. They are turning away. If they do, they are turning away from salvation itself. And he's going to heap up reasons why they should not turn away, and holding up for them, as it were, the beauty and glory and the glorious riches of Christ himself, and urging them, don't turn away from him. Now, we might not be tempted in exactly the same way, but there is always a temptation in that regard to turn away from Christ, to not see him as glorious. And as Paul would say it, that to know Christ is better than anything else, the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus. Right, I think there's always that constant pressure and temptation to devalue Christ, to turn away from him, not to find our satisfaction in him and to look elsewhere, to be persuaded elsewhere. So the author of Hebrews wants to say to us, we have a perfect Savior. He's the only Savior. He's a perfect Savior. He is one who, in this text, has taken on flesh, come down for us, as we recite, come down for us and for our salvation, in flesh like ours. Why? It's to save us, no doubt, to bear in his own body our sins and the punishment that we deserve, to perfectly obey the law on our behalf, to suffer the punishment due to our sin, deliver us from the very penalty of sin, but also to deliver us from its power and even its presence someday, ultimately, its very presence, that we are dying even now to sin, aren't we, by his grace. And so we have a perfect Savior who's taken on his flesh to come in that regard. And he's come, as the text will tell us, not only to be a propitiation for the sins of his people, but he's able to help us. He knows all the ways that we're tempted, knows all of our weaknesses and our particular struggles, and has come very near in that regard with flesh like our flesh, knows what it's like. Knows all of your struggles, knows all of our weaknesses and temptations, and is able to help us in them. And as he will say later on, is able to save us to the uttermost even. We'll praise God for such a Savior. We dare not turn from him. Let's hear, with these things in mind, let's hear the word of God. Hebrews 2, verses 10 through 18. For it was fitting that he, for whom and by whom all things exist, in bringing many sons to glory, should make the founder of their salvation perfect through suffering. For he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one origin. That is why he is not ashamed to call them brothers, saying, I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation I will sing your praise. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children God has given me. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver all who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. For surely it is not angels that he helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham. Therefore he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Thus far, the reading of God's holy, inerrant, infallible word. May he add his blessings to it.